This morning on WCHL, the pedestrian struck in a crosswalk on Tuesday night on Franklin Street downtown has been identified. We've got some safety tips for making sure that Hillsborough's black bears don't set up shop in Hillsborough.
What you're seeing here in Orange County is a fairly normal occurrence, although it's an unusual place.
One of your representatives is not backing down from an amendment that would protect from gender and sexual orientation discrimination, despite brash comments from a colleague that got a lot of attention.
Many, many sexual orientations are not ones you want to have teaching kids in school.
And what do a former resident of the Cedars in Chapel Hill and President Barack Obama have in common? These stories and much more, plus your Chapel Hill cover of traffic and weather together. And at WCHL Championship Sports this morning, two former Tar Heels are ready to see where they'll go in the NBA draft. And Virginia comes up just a little bit short.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carrboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's morning news with Ron Stutz begins now.
72 degrees in Chapel Hill, 707 at WCHL. Mostly sunshine today. No specific mention of any rain in our forecast. High today in the low 90s, so it will be warm. The pedestrian struck just before 9:30 p.m. on Tuesday at the crosswalk in the 100 block of West Franklin Street between 140 West and Columbia Street has been identified as Lindsay Hawkins. Chapel Hill police say Hawkins was taken to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. An officer says the vehicle that struck Hawkins stayed on the scene until police arrived. Hawkins was walking with a group of friends when the incident occurred. Lieutenant Josh Misimore of the Chapel Hill police says that no charges have been filed, but the investigation is ongoing.
Charges typically, if they were going to happen, wouldn't until we were completely finished with the investigation. The fact that no charges have been taken is not an indication that they won't be.
WCHL will continue to provide updates as this investigation continues. The family and friends of the UNC student who died last week said their goodbyes on Wednesday while they still wait for the news of the cause of his death. Harris Granger Farr, a rising senior and a member of the Alpha chapter of the Chi Phi fraternity, died on Thursday at a residence at 500 Pittsburgh Street, which is across from the UNC School of Public Health. Police said there was no sign of foul play, and an autopsy is being performed. Farr's father, John, told WNCN-TV that he believes his son died of cardiac arrest due to the high level of stress he was under with his classes. He said he was often up late working. The funeral for Harris was held at First Presbyterian Church in Raleigh yesterday at 2 o'clock. According to his obituary, the Farr family has created a scholarship in memory of Harris Granger Farr, which will honor academic excellence and members of the Chi Phi fraternity at the University of North Carolina. They're also asking that in lieu of flowers, donations are made in his memory to the Beaches Episcopal School in Jacksonville Beach, Florida, where they're installing a new Apple computer lab. With the recent number of black bear sightings throughout Hillsborough, it's important to understand what's causing these bears to behave this way and what you can do in response. Head of the Camouflage Coalition Program of the North Carolina Wildlife Federation, Richard Hamilton, has experience in black bear management from his 37 years working with a Wildlife Resource Commission. He says that while these black bears popping up in these areas is strange, it is a normal part of black bear biology.
What you're seeing here in Orange County is a fairly normal occurrence, although it's an unusual place. By the middle of July, the females run off the two-year-old cubs that they have. They've finished nursing. They run them off in preparation to start another family. And it's not unusual for these young bears to move long distances in search of a new home range where they can set up a territory.
Hamilton also cautions that while these bears are not generally dangerous, they need to be left alone. They will not become permanent residents of the Hillsborough area.
Bears are not inherently dangerous, especially these young bears. The best advice is not to bother these bears, but to be aware of them. Don't go up to them. Don't try to pet them or take a picture with them or anything like that. They're not going to attack you or your pets, and they will move on. They're not going to take up residence in Orange County.
Hillsborough Police has informed WCHL that there have not yet been any further black bear sightings since the last report came in on Tuesday. Anyone who sees a bear should still call 911 immediately. Again, don't get near the bear. Don't try to pet him or any or take a picture of him, any of that. For more on the story, visit our website, chapelboro.com. A Democratic representative of Durham and Orange counties is slamming a Republican colleague for his comments about homosexuality during a North Carolina House session on Tuesday of this week. WCHL's Danny Hooley has more.
Many, many sexual orientations are not ones you want to have teaching kids in school. Now, you may think you know what you mean by this, but you don't. I encourage you to vote against this amendment.
That's Republican Representative Paul Skipstam speaking on the floor of the North Carolina House Tuesday about an amendment to pending charter school legislation that deals with hiring practices. The author of the amendment, Democratic Representative Susan Fisher of Buncombe County, wanted sexual orientation and gender added to a list of things that could not be used to disqualify job candidates. During his remarks, Stam directed the sergeant-at-arms to circulate a paper titled, What is Sexual Orientation? The list of 30 definitions provided by Stam was taken from the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders published 14 years ago by the American Psychiatric Association. Definitions included pedophilia, sadomasochism, and various fetishes. The APA has since stated that pedophilia was mistakenly listed as a sexual orientation. Right away, Stam was roundly criticized on the House floor, on Twitter, and in the press for his comments and actions. In an interview with WCHL on Wednesday, Democratic Representative Greg Meyer added his voice to that chorus.
His comments were quite offensive, and I don't believe that anyone in common usage thinks about pedophilia as a sexual orientation.
Meyer told WCHL he had a few words with Stam after he made those comments.
I went over to Representative Stam immediately afterwards and told him that he was using the wrong citation and that the DSM did not actually describe those things as sexual orientations.
According to Meyer, he later emailed all of his House colleagues to correct Stam's use of the citation. In an email response to questions from WCHL, Representative Fisher said she offered the amendment to, quote, more fully delineate the groups who should be included in the non-discriminatory portion of the bill. We know that if the populations are specifically named in the law, that they are less likely to be discriminated against than if it is just a vague statement. It would have covered students and employees slash teachers, end of quote. Regarding Stam's remarks, Fisher said, quote, it was disappointing to me to see that there are still those who would use outdated and inaccurate information to inform their debate, end of quote. Republican leadership in the House used parliamentary procedure to table Fisher's amendment, and Meyer called that, quote, more offensive than Representative Stam's comments.
I was supportive of the amendment. I believe that it's important to include sexual orientation and gender identity in non-discrimination clauses that are sponsored by governmental organizations, and I think that would be a good thing to have in our charter school legislation.
WCHL reached out to Rod Cheney, the Republican challenger for Meyer's seat in the November election, for reaction to Stam's comments and Fisher's amendment. He replied by email that he is currently on vacation with his family in Alaska and did not respond further. For more on this story, you can read it at chapelboro.com. Danny Hooley, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
House Republicans and Governor Pat McCrory are joining forces to shake up the slow North Carolina state budget talks by backing a scaled-down spending plan that still includes teacher and state employee pay raises. McCrory, Speaker Tom Tillis, and other House GOP members held a news conference at the Executive Mansion yesterday to endorse the trim proposal they say will fulfill their promises to raise teacher salaries. The abbreviated budget bill passed the House Appropriations Committee later Wednesday. The Senate and the House passed rival budgets in recent weeks, but have only one formal negotiation meeting. Missing from the news conference was Senate leader Phil Berger. He said later he hopes the condensed spending plan is not a sign that House members have given up passing budget adjustments for all agencies. The North Carolina House has passed legislation that would allow drivers to renew their licenses without standing in line at the Division of Motor Vehicles. The bill passed on Wednesday would allow people to renew their driver's licenses online, by mail or by telephone, and would waive the requirement that they take a new picture or pass an exam at the DMV. A license renewed remotely would expire 4 years after it's issued. To renew remotely, the person would need a valid driver's license issued after they turned 18 and had the previous renewal occur in person. Lawmakers said the bill will help the DMV handle a surge in license renewals that's predicted over the next couple of years and makes the process easier and more convenient for North Carolina residents. Builders have broken ground in the final phase of a Raleigh apartment complex that will provide shelter for homeless veterans. WRAL-TV reported that officials with the nonprofit that's building and managing the apartments say that this second and final phase will provide another 10 permanent affordable homes for vets. Last year, 10 former U.S. service members moved into one-bedroom apartments at Sunnybrook Apartments for Veterans. Residents pay 30% of their monthly income toward rent. The City of Raleigh, Wake County, and the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development pay for construction, and the nonprofit CASA, CASA maintains the housing through donations. WCHL News Time, 7:16. Time now for traffic and weather together, and this traffic report is brought to you by Cruisers Convenience Marketplace.
Thank you very much, Ron. The usuals on the roadways right now, 15501 northbound and southbound between Estes Drive and Garrett Road through the I-40 interchange, seeing some minor to moderate delays, nothing major there. No accidents being reported, no additional delays. If you see anything, though, as you travel throughout the rest of the day, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 919-967-8363, or you can tweet us at WCHL. As always, we ask you do that safely.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Cruisers Convenience Marketplace serves fresh brewed coffee every day, and they serve it fast. It's guaranteed to taste great. Fuel up at Cruisers. Good to go. WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough weather, 72 degrees in Chapel Hill, 71 in Carborough, also 71 this morning in Hillsboro. Mostly sunshine today, high today in the low 90s. Oh boy, it's going to be hot. Tonight, partly cloudy, and then becoming mostly cloudy after midnight, 20% chance for showers. Overnight low, about 68 degrees. Now tomorrow, mostly cloudy, slight chance for showers in the morning, and then a bigger chance of rain later on in the day, about 40%, maybe showers, maybe thunderstorms in the afternoon. Our high tomorrow in the upper 80s, and tomorrow night, mostly cloudy, scattered showers, maybe a thunderstorm with a low in the low 70s. And for your weekend on Saturday, mostly cloudy with about a 40% chance of rain, high 85. On Sunday, it's going to be partly cloudy with a high around 90 again, so temperatures will go down a little bit and then back up. All in all, warm weather over the next few days.
Ron Stuntz has been your early morning host since 1977. That's a long time behind the mic. Ron has all your local news, sports, traffic and weather together, interviews with the newsmakers, commentaries, jokes, and a lot more. You'll hear from Rand Northam and the entire WCHL news team, plus Freddie Kiger's trivia, Wayne Pond's word of the day, the clean joke, and a whole lot more. Monday through Friday from 6 to 9 a.m. This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. Now, Ron Stutz.
WCHL News Time is 7:18. An 87-year-old resident of the Cedars in Chapel Hill who passed away on June 18th is survived by a very famous great-nephew. As first reported by a television station WNCN, Margaret Arlene Payne's obituary in the News and Observer includes two names in Payne's list of family members whose names ought to be familiar to a lot of people. You may have heard of Payne's niece, Stanley Ann Dunham, who died nearly 19 years ago. Even if you haven't, you're likely to be familiar with Dunham's son, Barack Obama. Payne had a lot more going for her, too, than being the great aunt of the President of the United States. Although that's pretty cool in itself, her last job before she retired back in 1990 was at UNC, where she worked as a research professor for 10 years. She began her career in education as a professor of nutrition and the director of the graduate program at the University of Kansas Medical Center. She went on to work as a consultant to the National Education Association, and she returned to teaching at the University of Missouri at Kansas City before finishing up her career at our local university. Payne was the author of two books and several articles about educational curriculum. According to her obituary, she enjoyed traveling throughout the United States and Europe. There will be no funeral service. But 87-year-old Margaret Arlene Payne, the great aunt, I suppose, or grand aunt of the President of the United States. That's a pretty cool distinction. 7:20 at WCHL. Time now for championship sports. Tonight's a big night. The ACC's finest, and of course, some of Carolina's finest, will feature heavily in the 2014 NBA draft, set to get underway tonight, 7 o'clock on ESPN. WCHL's Matt Oaks takes a closer look
Duke's Jabari Parker has Joel Embiid to thank if he snags the top pick in this year's NBA draft. Embiid, the standout freshman sensation at Kansas a season ago, has seen his stock slide due to his foot injury. Regardless, Parker is set to make an immediate impact at the next level. The Cavaliers will have their eyes firmly set on Parker and another Jayhawk, Andrew Wiggins, for the top pick. Another ACC star who should come off the draft boards early Thursday night is NC State's TJ Warren. Tar Heel fans will likely never forget the stunning duel between the Wolfpack star and UNC point guard Marcus Paige at PNC Arena in Raleigh a season ago. Warren, who averaged 25 points per game last season, has made his final curtain call in ACC action, but most experts have the ACC Player of the Year's draft stock rising thanks to his exceptional workouts of late. Expect a team like the Orlando Magic, who could use a dynamic wing player, to nab Warren with the number 12 selection. Another intriguing prospect from Tobacco Road is the embattled PJ Hairston. Hairston spent last season lighting up the NBA Development League in Texas. While there, he shot 45.3% from the floor and 87% at the free throw line. The Greensboro native will be hoping to squeeze into the lottery picks, but it's more probable to see Hairston going somewhere between 15 and 24 in the selections. By the way, the Charlotte Hornets are in need of some explosive offense and notably have pick number 24. So don't rule out a short trip down to Charlotte for Hairston. Duke's Rodney Hood is expected to go early as well. At 6'8", Hood has the size and shooting ability to attract general managers across the nation. Expect Hood to go somewhere in the 8 to 14 pick window. Clemson's KJ McDaniels is another top prospect on this year's draft board. His athleticism will have a lot of team executives salivating. McDaniels will likely sneak into the top 20 Thursday night. The difference between being selected in the first and second round is huge. Getting picked in the first round guarantees a contract. Second round selections aren't promised anything, and that's why James Michael McAdoo's decision to forgo his senior season at Carolina was so puzzling. No analysts or draft gurus have the former Tar Heel going in the first round. It should be a night mixed with suspense, relief, and celebration for many of the ACC's brightest lights. All the hard work could pay off big time with a dream realized and a massive check in tow. They've thrilled fans everywhere with their sparkling play at the collegiate level, but the final chapter in their basketball career is set to begin. Matt Oakes, 97.9 FM, WCHO.
Wouldn't be surprised at all to see P.J. Hairston make a big splash in the NBA, and I mean that in a good way. He's already proven himself to be the best player in the D-League and just waiting to get selected into the NBA. Jabari Parker could call on some nearby friends if the Bucks take the Duke forward with a second overall pick. He's from nearby Chicago. High school teammate Steve Taylor Jr. plays his college ball in Milwaukee at Marquette. The school just so happens to have former Blue Devils assistant Steve Wojciechowski as its head coach now, otherwise known as Wojo around here. Bucks general manager John Hammond, of course, isn't letting on exactly what he's going to do. But new team co-owner Mark Lazary has said it's essentially down to Parker or Kansas star Andrew Wiggins. Wojo thinks the 6'8 Parker would be a good fit in Milwaukee. He says Parker's skill set will make him a scorer in the NBA for a very long time. Well, Virginia made it all the way to the College World Series, and in fact, all the way to the Championship Series and all the way to the Championship game. John Norwood's tie-breaking homer in the top of the eighth inning carried Vanderbilt to a 3-2 win over Virginia last night for the Commodores' first national title. Norwood turned on Nick Howard's 97-mile-per-hour fastball and sent it into the left field bullpen. Then Hayden Stone and Adam Ravenel closed out the third and deciding game at the College World Series Finals. It was Norwood's third homer of the year, his first since April 19th, and Vanderbilt's first since May 16th. It also was only the third home run in 16 College World Series games and the 22nd in 72 games by the Commodores, who finished the season at 51-21. Well, this was a rare year when Carolina didn't even come close to getting to the College World Series. It's become almost an annual trip for Coach Mike Fox and the Tar Heels, but all eyes were on the Virginia Cavaliers, who had quite a season in the Atlantic Coast Conference and beyond. Cavs finish at 53-16. It's amazing to only lose 16 games in a long baseball season. They loaded the bases with one out in the eighth when Adam Ravenel hit Kenny Towns, but Mike Poppy was forced out at home on a chopper to Ravenel, and Brandon Downs grounded out. The title secured when Ravenel struck out Daniel Pinero is Vandy's first in a men's sport. School's only other title came in women's bowling back in 2007. Carolina Panthers are putting the final touches on phase one of a $125 million stadium renovation project. Panthers Director of Stadium Operations Scott Paul led a media tour on Wednesday, showing off the stadium's two larger video boards, two new ribbon boards, an improved sound system, and four new escalators to transport fans to the upper levels. Sounds like it's going to be more of a fun place to work for Mick Mixon, the voice of the Carolina Panthers. Paul says the first phase of the project is 95% complete and ought to be finished before the team's Fan Fest event coming up on July 25th. Phase one of the project came in right on budget at $65 million. The remainder of the renovation project will be completed over the next 2 years. The video boards are the most notable upgrades at 2.5 times the size of the original video boards. Let's quick look at WCHL Championship Sports. Archansky has the morning off. 7:26 at WCHL.
AT&T asks, are you that guy? That guy who not only paints his face to cheer on his team, but then paints his entire torso? Well, you don't have to be that guy to prove your fanhood. Switch to AT&T and follow your favorite team like never before. It's much better than perusing the hardware store for this season's color palette of belly paints. You have the speed to get scores, stats, and highlights fast with AT&T. Rethink possible.
Visit att.com or store for details.
Fitz Lumber and Hardware has been in business since 1907 and been here in downtown Carrboro since 1923. We've always strived to provide you with the three most valuable things in the construction supply business: competitive prices, excellent customer service, and top quality building products. That's our goal to you. So please stop by to see just why Fitz Lumber and Hardware has been going strong for over a century. You'll be glad you did. We appreciate your business. Here comes Fitch.
Performance Subaru in Chapel Hill is celebrating the kickoff to summer with the sizzling summer event. We realize value is of paramount importance. That's why you'll always find outstanding value that extends to the wow experience. Listen to what Buddy had to say about his performance experience.
I only came in for service on our very well-liked Outback. I waited and killed time by looking at the new cars close at hand. A very informed salesman came by, answered all my questions. When he found out the low mileage on my existing car, he made me an offer I felt I could not refuse. When I returned with my wife, he found a color she liked with an even better offer than before.
Now that's a wow. During our sizzling summer event, you can lease a 2014 Subaru Impreza 2.0i for $149 per month. That's another wow.
Stock number D4620ELB01. 42-month lease with 10,000 miles per year. $35.99 due at signing and $0 security deposit. Includes applicable NC taxes, registration, and 549 dealer admin fee. Based on MSRP of $25.32 and selling price of $18,999. With approved credit, take delivery before 6/30/2014.
Visit us at performancesubaru.com, where sales and service specials abound, or visit us in person in Chapel Hill, just a quarter mile off I-40. Wow.
Hi, this is Ron Stutz. Join me at Keenan Stadium on Friday, July 4th, for one of Chapel Hill's brightest traditions, the Town of Chapel Hill's July 4th Celebration. Performing live at 7:30 p.m., the Triangle's very own Bull City Syndicate, plus a 4th of July fireworks extravaganza at 9:30. Gates open at 7. Get there early for DSI Comedy Theater's July 4th Watermelon Eating Contest. I'll be there as your master of ceremonies. Donations encouraged at the gate. For more info, log on to townofchapelhill.org/July4.
Our name is WCHL. Our dial positions, 97.9 FM and 1360 AM. Our station website is chapelboro.com, where you can listen anywhere in the world with live streaming. This is Chapel Hill Carrboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station, WCHL.
Thanks for waking up with us on WCHL. I'm Rod Stutz, on the air until 9 this morning. And, of course, from 9 to noon, it is the Stephanie Miller Show, followed by Tom Hartman from noon to 3. And then Aaron Keck with the afternoon news and the evening news on WCHL. Aaron's on the air from 3 until 7 p.m. And in case you don't know yet, Aaron's doing some new things. He has long conversations with the mayors of our three towns, Mark Kleinsmith, Lenny Lavelle, and Tom Stevens, and all kinds of community discussions going on there on the afternoon news. Afternoons with Aaron Keck on WCHL. Of course, we've got all your news at the end of the day as well of what's happening in our community and setting the stage for what's happening tonight. This afternoon, he no doubt will be talking a lot about the NBA draft, which happens tonight starting at 7 o'clock, and we'll be watching that because there are former Carolina players and some ACC players who are expected to figure prominently in that draft. Time now for your Chapel Hill Carrboro weather, brought to you this morning by Cruisers Convenience Marketplace. It is 72 degrees right now, mostly sunny, high today in the low 90s. Tonight, partly cloudy with even more clouds rolling in after midnight. Just a slight chance of showers. Overnight low about 67 or 68. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy all day. We'll start out with a slim chance of rain and then a 40% chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon hours tomorrow. By tomorrow in the upper 80s. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy with a chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms with low in the low 70s, about like usual, and a 40% chance of rain. Now, in case you're wondering about the weekend, on Saturday, mostly cloudy day, 40% chance of rain with a high of 85. And on Sunday, it looks like partly cloudy skies, a little warmer, high about 90 degrees. Cruisers Convenience Marketplace has the best tasting fountain drinks in town with their famous chewy ice, and they're guaranteed to taste great. Cruisers. Good to go.
Chapelboro.com is more of what you live here for. If it's happening where you live, you can find it on 97.9 FM. WCHL's website, Chapelboro.com.
U.S. from south of the border are being housed at San Antonio's Lackland Air Force Base. KGBT TV's Sergio Chapa says one has been diagnosed with swine flu.
The sick child is one of nearly 1,000 immigrant children staying at Lackland after crossing the border alone into the United States. The child had to go to the hospital and is now doing better.
In Nogales, Arizona, Homeland Security Chief Jay Johnson toured a detention center packed with about 900 kids.
This journey is a dangerous one, and at the end of it, there's no free pass. There are no permisos for children, for your children who come to the United States.
Arizona Governor Jan Brewer.
As a mother, it breaks your heart to know that they're in the situation that they're in. But more than that, it breaks your heart that parents themselves would put their children in harm's way.
Many kids were picked up in the Rio Grande Valley, and they're winding up at military bases in Texas, Oklahoma, and California. CBS News Update, I'm Dave Barrett.
WCHL News, talk and Tar Heels at 97.9 FM, WCHL.
72 degrees, 732 at WCHL. I'm Ron Stutz. The pedestrian struck just before 9:30 p.m. on Tuesday at the crosswalk in the 100 block of West Franklin Street between 140 West and Columbia Street has been identified now as Lindsay Hawkins. Chapel Hill Police Department says Hawkins was taken to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. An officer says the vehicle that struck Hawkins stayed on the scene until police arrived. Hawkins was walking with a group of friends when the incident occurred. Lieutenant Josh Misimore, the Chapel Hill Police, says that no charges have been filed, but the investigation is continuing.
Charges typically, if they were going to happen, wouldn't until we were completely finished with the investigation. The fact that no charges have been taken is not an indication that they won't be.
WCHL will continue providing updates as this investigation continues. A lot of black bears have been spotted recently in Hillsboro, or maybe it's just one bear that gets around a lot. The recent number of black bear sightings throughout Hillsboro, it's important to understand what's causing these bears to behave this way and what you should do in response. Head of the Camouflage Coalition Program of the North Carolina Wildlife Federation, Richard Hamilton, has experience in black bear management from working 37 years with the Wildlife Resource Commission. He says that while these black bears popping up in these areas in Hillsboro is rather strange, it's a normal part of black bear biology.
What you're seeing here in Orange County is a fairly normal occurrence, although it's an unusual place. By the middle of July, the females run off the two-year-old cubs that they have. They've finished nursing. They run them off in preparation to start another family. And it's not unusual for these young bears to move long distances in search of a new home range where they can set up a territory.
Hamilton also cautions that while these bears are not generally dangerous, they really need to be left alone, and they will not become permanent residents of the Hillsboro area.
Bears are not inherently dangerous, especially these young bears. The best advice is not to bother these bears, but to be aware of them. Don't go up to them. Don't try to pet them or take a picture with them or anything like that. They're not going to attack you or your pets, and they will move on. They're not going to take up residence in Orange County.
Hillsboro Police has informed WCHL that there have not yet been any further black bear sightings. The last one was on Tuesday. Anyone who sees a bear should call 911 immediately. For more on this story, visit our website, chapelboro.com. On to politics. A Democratic representative of Durham and Orange Counties, Greg Meyer, is slamming a Republican colleague for his comments about homosexuality during a North Carolina House session on Tuesday this week. WCHL's Danny Hooley has more.
Many, many sexual orientations are not ones you want to have teaching kids in school. Now, you may think you know what you mean by this, but you don't. I encourage you to vote against this amendment.
That's Republican Representative Paul Skipstam speaking on the floor of the North Carolina House Tuesday about an amendment to pending charter school legislation that deals with hiring practices. The author of the amendment, Democratic Representative Susan Fisher of Buncombe County, wanted sexual orientation and gender added to a list of things that could not be used to disqualify job candidates. During his remarks, Stam directed the sergeant-at-arms to circulate a paper titled, What is Sexual Orientation? The list of 30 definitions provided by Stam was taken from the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders published 14 years ago by the American Psychiatric Association. Definitions included pedophilia, sadomasochism, and various fetishes. The APA has since stated that pedophilia was mistakenly listed as a sexual orientation. Right away, Stam was roundly criticized on the House floor, on Twitter, and in the press for his comments and actions. In an interview with WCHL on Wednesday, Democratic Representative Greg Meyer added his voice to that chorus.
His comments were quite offensive, and I don't believe that anyone in common usage thinks about pedophilia as a sexual orientation.
Meyer told WCHL he had a few words with Stam after he made those comments.
I went over to Representative Stam immediately afterwards and told him that he was using the wrong citation and that the DSM did not actually describe those things as sexual orientations.
According to Meyer, he later emailed all of his House colleagues to correct Stam's use of the citation. In an email response to questions from WCHL, Representative Fisher said she offered the amendment to, quote, more fully delineate the groups who should be included in the non-discriminatory portion of the bill. We know that if the populations are specifically named in the law, that they are less likely to be discriminated against than if it is just a vague statement. It would have covered students and employees slash teachers, end of quote. Regarding Stam's remarks, Fisher said, quote, it was disappointing to me to see that there are still those who would use outdated and inaccurate information to inform their debate, end of quote. Republican leadership in the House used parliamentary procedure to table Fisher's amendment, and Meyer called that, quote, more offensive than Representative Stam's comments.
I was supportive of the amendment. I believe that it's important to include sexual orientation and gender identity in non-discrimination clauses that are sponsored by governmental organizations, and I think that would be a good thing to have in our charter school legislation.
WCHL reached out to Rod Cheney, the Republican challenger for Meyer's seat in the November election, for reaction to Stam's comments and Fisher's amendment. He replied by email that he is currently on vacation with his family in Alaska and did not respond further. For more on this story, you can read it at chapelboro.com. Danny Hooley, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
A bill that legalizes medicinal oil for epileptic patients made from a marijuana plant has received unanimous approval from a North Carolina Senate committee. The Senate Rules Committee approved the bill yesterday after brief discussion and testimony from parents of children with epilepsy. The bill would legalize and regulate hemp oil extract made from a marijuana plant to be used in treating severe epilepsy that has not been responsive to three or more treatments. Lawmakers say the hemp oil, which is made into syrup and then taken by the patient, would not make anyone high. The State House passed the bill last week. Henderson County Republican Senator Tom Apodaca championed this bill, saying he would do all he could to help families who watched their children suffer for years. An 87-year-old resident of the Cedars in Chapel Hill who passed away on June 18th is survived by a very famous great-nephew. As first reported by television station WNCN, Margaret Arlene Payne's obituary in the News and Observer includes a couple of names in Payne's list of family members whose names should be familiar to a lot of us. You may have heard of Payne's niece, Stanley Ann Dunham, who died nearly 19 years ago. Even if you haven't, you're likely to be familiar with Dunham's son, the President of the United States, Barack Obama. Payne had a lot more going for her than being the great aunt of the president. Her last job before she retired in 1990 was at UNC, where she worked as a research professor for 10 years. She began her career in education as a professor of nutrition and the director of the graduate program at the University of Kansas Medical Center. She went on to work as a consultant to the National Education Association. She returned to teaching at the University of Missouri at Kansas City before finishing her career at our university. Payne was the author of two books and several articles about educational curriculum. According to her obituary, she enjoyed traveling throughout the United States and Europe. There will be no funeral service. But again, Margaret Arlene Payne died at the age of 87. And just happens to be survived by a very famous great-nephew, Barack Obama, the President of the United States. We're always talking about interesting people who live at the Cedars, and they indeed are, and they're from all over the world, and this is something that I did not know, that we had person out there with a very famous great nephew, the president. So that's really kind of a cool story, and certainly she's worthy of being remembered for a lot of other things besides that. Margaret Arlene Payne. It is 7:40 at WCHL. I'm Ron Stutz, and Rand Northam has just walked into the studio and armed with all kinds of interesting things that are happening at our website, chapelboro.com.
Well, there's more interesting people in the community than we even knew about. How about that?
I know it, man. This is just a veritable melting pot of really fascinating folks. We got people who retire here who were CEOs of major companies.
True.
And have just all, especially when you start talking about the older population, you talk about some senior citizens in our community, you may not know all the True. Fascinating things that they did in their lives.
That's right.
Before they even came here. And it's certainly worth sitting down and having a conversation with these people, I'll tell you that much.
And I hear there's an author or two in Hillsboro.
So. No kidding, about every other house, I think.
That's right. Well, on our website today on chapelboro.com, we have a new video series that our very own Alex Curley and Zach Godwin have produced. It's called A Taste of Orange, mm-hmm. and it speaks of the Mediterranean Deli on Franklin Street. Jamil Kadura with the interview on there, and just an excellent video by Alex yeah. and Zach. Just a great job. You want to check it out. And a great story for Jamil.
Yeah. He's a nice guy.
He really is. Really is. Great guy. He's very giving, and it's excellent. But he tells of his story of traveling to America and of bringing the food of his country to America mm-hmm. as well.
Well, a lot of people go to Med Deli and experience it every day.
That is true.
A very popular
That's
place.
Very true. Very popular. It's the winner. It won our restaurant bracket.
Mm-hmm.
So that was just great to see that. And more videos coming from A Taste of Orange, but you'll want to check out our first in that series with Jamil in that.
Mm-hmm.
The Habitat for Humanity recently had a barbecue, and we've got a photo gallery up of that, and Ramses made it out to that. Pretty cool.
Yeah.
So you want to check out that photo gallery. Lots of great things going on in and around the community. You can find all most of them, at least, on our website, chapelboro.com, in our calendar page, and lots of other great things going on, too. But news and sports columns, of course, there. And you can find much, much more. We've got local buzz columns. We've got lifestyle section and much more. Chapelboro.com with instantly live streaming on an app for that.
Yeah, and Katie Anderson, who works with Habitat, was our hometown hero just a couple of days ago.
That's
and
right.
Can't really even mention Habitat without mentioning Susan Levy, who's been there forever and just does a great job of that organization. They have made tremendous strides.
Definitely.
Helping folks with housing and just a really... another nice person who does a lot in our community.
That's great.
Hey, thank you so much, buddy. We'll
thank
talk
you.
To you in a few minutes and get the update on our traffic situation.
You bet.
7:43 at WCHL.
Durham Tech is now registering students for an accelerated one-semester certificate program in office administration at the Orange County campus. Learn the skills needed in a professional office setting in just 15 credit hours or apply the courses to the two-year office administration degree. Contact Joan Brown, Program Director, at 919-536-7238, extension 4203, for more information. Space is limited, so act now. Durham Tech, where great things happen.
Concerts? Check. Outdoor movies? Check. Farmers Market every Thursday from 3:30 to 6:30? Check and check. Chapel Hill's new old neighborhood, Southern Village, has every ingredient for your perfect Southern summer. And this Thursday, June 26th, we'll be holding a food truck rodeo from 5 to 9 p.m., including 6 food trucks, a beer van, and a dessert stand. Plus, there will be live music from Gary Mitchell and also the Heart of Carolina Jazz Orchestra. So come have yourself a real Southern summer. Visit southernvillage.com for more information.
At Best Tile, we are a local store with a global selection. Local, as we are a family business conveniently located just down the road at the corner of 15501 and Garrett Road, where our team of in-house designers are ready to assist in finding the tile and stone that's right for you. And global, as we are one of the largest importers of tile and stone in the nation, with a focus on premier products from countries like Spain, Italy, and the U.S., where you are assured products are created responsibly. Local store, global selection, Best Tile. Stop by and see us on Garrett Road or find us online at besttile.com.
This is Chief Chris Blue with the Chapel Hill Police Department. Police officers and firefighters respond to nearly 5,000 alarm calls each year. About 95% of those calls turn out to be accidental alarms. Homes and businesses in Chapel Hill are now required to register for a permit by July 1st, and failure to do so could result in a $100 fine. Multiple accidental activations in a 365-day period may result in fines of up to $500. For more information or to register your alarm, visit townofchapelhill.org/alarms. And thank you, WCHL, for caring about public safety in our community.
73 degrees in Chapel Hill, 745.
And now, WCHL presents the commentators.
This is Art Minius. Leaving this area for 7 years made me appreciate some of the special pleasures we enjoy in Orange County. I can no longer take these things for granted, but too often in our zeal to make our community better, we forget how good we have it. First and foremost, in this election year, we have accessible, responsive elected officials at every level in Orange County. Sure, our representative makes decisions we don't like. You can't please all of the people all of the time. Fruitfully or not, however, we can reach our commissioners, aldermen, mayors, and town council members, bend their ears, and be heard. Now that I've lived and worked where that was not the case, and in one place where political corruption was very close to the surface, I treasure our ground-level participatory democracy in Orange County. Second, we are blessed with some terrific town and county employees. Most of my interactions with Carbora staff and those folks are top-notch and honest. Third, I cherish all the volunteers who keep the wheels of government rolling. Town and county commission and committee members, poll workers, campaign workers, regular citizens who take the time to attend meetings and express their opinions. They are the lifeblood of what keeps our community special, even as they grow and change. It is our responsibility as citizens to keep these three pillars of our community strong. This is Art Minius.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue. The Commentators, local people, local issues, on 97.9 FM, WCHL. What You're Saying on the Street, presented by ISIS IT. What You're Saying on the Street.
I'm Morgan Alderman. Former UNC basketball player PJ Harrison is entered in the 2014 NBA draft. After shining in the NBA Development League after his time at UNC, experts predict that he will be picked late in the first round. We hit the streets to find out how you think PJ will do in the draft.
My name is Kyle Grant. I think that PJ Harrison will be drafted around 15 to 20 in the first round. Personally, I think that would be a steal for a team to get him that late, but I know a lot of teams have questions of his character based on some of his actions here at UNC. But talent-wise, I think he could go as high as 8 to 10, honestly, and a team would be getting a steal getting him after the lottery.
My name is Hannah Haidar. I'm a senior at UNC. The whole PJ thing to me is actually kind of disappointing because I thought he was going to be around for a while. I think it's really cool that things worked out for him because he's a great player. People make mistakes, but I really do wish that he could have stayed around longer.
Hey, I'm Cameron, and I think PJ would do pretty good in the draft. The whole legal situation and everything like that might kind of kill his draft stock a little bit, but I think he'll end up somewhere. I'm thinking he might end up with the Knicks. I think Charlotte would be a good fit for him, but as far as like the area, it's not too good for him, behavior reasons. So I think he'll end up somewhere good.
My name is Nicholas Hackley, and I personally believe that the odds are stacked against him because, you know, as we all know, it's very competitive to get in, and he has some unfortunate situations about him.
How do you think PJ will do in the draft?
Treasure Williams. As long as he's a good athlete, I think his chances are pretty good. Like, the charges weren't that crazy. Like, he wasn't trying to do any harm to anyone else. Like, he should be given the chance. All people make mistakes, so he should be given a second chance.
Ariana Majors. I feel like considering the fact that PJ is a very good player, he will be like considered for a good pick. It might not be a high pick, but I still feel like he will do pretty good in the NBA draft.
My name is Evan Amico, and I think that PJ Harrison is going to do pretty well in the NBA draft. He's a strong player, and I think the NBA is going to be happy to have him.
That's What You're Saying on the Street. On 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. What You're Saying on the Street, presented by ISIS IT. Managed IT solutions to fit your needs. Find out how they can save you money at igotfixed.com.
Performance BMW in Chapel Hill is celebrating the kickoff to summer with the sizzling summer event. We realize value is of paramount importance. That's why you'll always find outstanding value that extends to the wow experience. Listen to what Nabila had to say about her Performance BMW experience.
I've had my car serviced at Performance for 4 years now. I always feel like I'm getting the white glove treatment when I see my service advisor, Jason Nunnery. Last fall, I was interested in the new 3 Series sedan after I drove it as a loaner, but I decided to keep my 2007 at least until the warranty runs out. But when I go to get a new one, I'll buy from Aaron.
Now that's a wow.
During our sizzling summer event, you can lease a new 2014 BMW 320i for $317 per month. That's another wow. Stock number B4784, 36-month lease with 10,000 miles per year. Based on MSRP of $35,725 and selling price of $33,615. $3,248 down. Excludes $549 admin fee and tax. Financing with approved credit through BMFS. Offer expires 6/30/2014.
Visit PerformanceBMWChapelHill.com or visit us in person in Chapel Hill, just a quarter mile off I-40.
Bring the kids, welcome your neighbors, and leave the work week behind. Hi, this is Michelle from the Carolina Inn, inviting you to join us for Fridays on the Front Porch every Friday starting at 5 p.m. Fridays on the Front Porch provides the perfect atmosphere for kicking back, relaxing, and getting a jump start on the weekend. Enjoy great food, live music, and fun times under the shady oaks and magnolia trees. There's no cover charge or reservations to attend. For more information, visit CarolinaInnEvents.com.
It is now time for Traffic and Weather Together on WCHL. Traffic brought to you this morning by Dickie's Barbecue Pit.
Thank you very much, Ron. Well, we hope that everybody is moving along smoothly as usual, but right now we're seeing a couple slowdowns, 15501 northbound and southbound between Estes Drive and Garrett Road through the I-40 interchange. We usually see those delays here in the morning, and those are minor to moderate and sporadic, really, not constant. So you still need to be on the lookout for that, be ready for any kind of sudden stop. NC-54 heading eastbound and westbound between Barbie Chapel Road and I-40, seeing some delays, heaviest on the westbound side of that, and I-40 heading westbound right now between NC-751 and NC-54, seeing some minor to moderate delays as well. Otherwise, things moving smoothly, no accidents, no additional delays, and been quite a little bit since we've seen an accident in the area, knock on wood.
Really.
I apologize for what I've just caused.
But, I'm going to do it too.
If you see anything as you travel throughout the rest of the day, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 919-967-8363, or you can tweet us at WCHL. As always, we ask you to do that safely.
All right, Rand, an accident of sorts coming up in a moment here, a collision, if you will. Wayne Pond.
Yeah, what I thought you were going to say.
He will be joining us in a moment. This traffic report brought to you by Dickie's Barbecue Pit. Dickie's is in Durham on the Chapel Hill side of Durham, next to New Hope Commons. Eat in, call ahead for takeout, order in advance, or arrange for catering at dickies.com. WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough weather, 73 degrees in Chapel Hill, 72 this morning in Carborough, also 73 this morning in Hillsboro. Mostly sunshine today, high today in the low 90s. Tonight, partly cloudy with the 20% chance for showers and the low about 68. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a 20% chance of rain early in the day, 40% chance of a shower or thunderstorm in the afternoon. Our high tomorrow in the upper 80s. And big chance of rain tomorrow night as well. So today, specifically, no mention of any rain. A lot of sunshine, though, and really hot. We'll be up in the low 90s today. Perfect kind of weather for Wayne Pond, who likes to stay outside and work on his suntan as often as possible.
There's an image we don't want to put on the radio.
No, we don't. I'm sorry.
Did you just say that we were headed for a collision there, Ron Boy?
Yeah, I just said, with you coming up with the word of the day, there's no telling what kind of accident might occur.
Well, in that case, I'm going to put it on autopilot, and we're going to do the word of the day.
All right, that sounds good.
You have heard the expression, you know, an exclamation of frustration or surprise. Somebody say, sheesh.
Sure.
You're familiar with that, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, here's a word, according to the wordsmith, I'm just taking a wild guess here, that may be in a way related to that kind of exclamation. The word of the day is baksheesh. You take the sheesh part, S-H-E-E-S-H, and you park a B-A-K in front of it. B-A-K-S-H-E-E-S-H. Baksheesh. Ran, you familiar with this?
No, Ran walked back into the studio. He's working on it.
He's working out of the news story. How about you, Ron Boy? You know this word at all?
Well, I've heard sheesh, you know, hundreds of times, but I don't think I've ever heard baksheesh.
Well, here's the interesting part. According to the wordsmith, this is a bona fide term that comes into English, believe it or not, in the 17th century. It's all about bribes and payments and, you know, expediting service and getting that little extra bit, you know, out of whoever it is you're passing the money to. Baksheesh is a payment, a tip, or a bribe to expedite service. So is this brand new to you the way it is to me?
Yeah, it is. I don't think I've ever heard that.
Well, then we've set the bar even lower, haven't we?
Yeah, probably so.
That's right. Okay. All right, there's your word or term of the day. Bakshish, B-A-K-S-H-E-E-S-H, a payment, a tip, or a bribe. Ron Boy,
yeah.
Go forth and bakshish nobody, okay?
You got it. Thanks
right.
a lot.
Be a good boy. Talk to you in the morning. Bye.
Wayne Pond's Word of the Day on WCHL, brought to you by Franklin Street Realty. Why would you call anyone else? I don't know. Coming up next hour, you'll have an opportunity to call in and tell me the word of the day, spell it correctly, and define it. If you can do all that, if you're the first to do it, I'll give you a $10 gift card to Cruisers. Time now, ladies and gentlemen, for the clean joke of the day, and I got a good one for you. Mae McClendon sent it to me, and Mae is always the source for great jokes. She calls them a smile of the day. Well, here's your smile of the day. A petty thief, a teacher, and a lawyer die in a plane crash and go up to heaven's gates together. A petty thief, a teacher, and a lawyer. When they get there, they're stopped by St. Peter, who says, "Sorry, it's crowded up here. You need to answer a question correctly or else you can't get in." He looks over at the teacher and asks her, "What was the name of the famous ocean liner that sank after hitting an iceberg?" "Oh, that's easy," the teacher replies, "the Titanic." So St. Peter lets her into heaven. Next, he turns to the petty thief. "How many people died on that ship?" St. Peter asks. "Ooh, that's tough, but I saw the movie and I think it was 1,500. St. Peter steps away and the thief walks right into heaven. Finally, St. Peter turns to the lawyer and says, "Name them." Thank you, Mae McClendon. 7:57 at WCHL.
This is Gerald Ramoyne, General Manager of Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill. We're proud of the performance promise, and we're proud of our community, too. That's why Performance Auto Mall highlights a great community service demonstrated by today's Village Pride Award honoree.
Rachel Robertson is a teacher at Cameron Park Elementary School, a part of the Orange County School System. Here's Mike Gilbert, Public Information Officer for the Orange County School System.
She's been with the district for 8 years. She teaches kindergarten and has been an elementary teacher for 8 years.
And what makes her so outstanding and so deserving of special recognition?
She really has a zest for education. Her students are very engaged, and she really works her lessons to meet the strengths of her students.
And what is she like personally? What kind of a personality does she have?
She's very good in the classroom, but more than that, she's become a real part of the Orange County Schools community and the Cameron Park community. Every year, she works the events such as Cameron Park Fall Festival, Family Night, Earth Day celebrations. She's really engaged in all aspects of the school community.
What do her fellow teachers and principals say about her?
Her principal, Julie Van Diver, said, "Rachel's earned the respect and admiration of her students, their parents, and her peers through her positive attitude and dedicated service to her students. One of her most admirable qualities is her sense of pride, pride in the quality of her teaching and her students and in being part of Cameron Park."
Rachel Robertson, an outstanding kindergarten teacher at Cameron Park Elementary School. And Rachel is today's WCHL hometown hero.
Performance Auto Mall is proud to put today's Village Pride Award honoree in our spotlight. And remember, at Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill, we carry Acura, BMW, Chevrolet, Porsche, and Subaru. But we also have access to nearly 4,000 pre-owned automobiles. At Performance Auto Mall, we can find your next automobile, no matter the brand. We promise.
At the UPS store, we love printing. Large format flyers, professional presentations and manuals, banners, bumper stickers, basically anything you might need. We do it all from start to finish. And now we have three convenient options to make the process even easier for you. Submit your print job by email or by visiting our new online print website at upsstoreprint.com, and we'll quickly have it ready for you to pick up. Or simply bring your materials to one of our local stores in Meadowmont, Chapel Hill North, and on Fordham Boulevard.
The UPS store, where we have fun taking exceptional care of our customers.
This is Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station, WCHL. Now, here's Ron Stutz.
WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough weather. It's going to be a hot one today. Mostly sunny with a high in the low 90s. It's a hot one. Tonight, partly cloudy with a 20% chance of showers. Our overnight low about 68 degrees. And then tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a 20% chance of rain early. Then a 40% chance of rain later on in the day tomorrow with a high in the upper 80s. It's 8 o'clock.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
U.S. showdown at the World Cup.
We got to give everything we got and more.
Boston concert disaster.
This is any parent's worst nightmare.
Older moms.
They tend to live longer.
Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan with the CBS World News Roundup. In the East, there might be some long lunches. In the West, people might be a few hours late to work. There are viewing parties in cities all over the country for the crucial U.S. World Cup match against powerhouse Germany. Fans serenaded the team yesterday in Brazil. Midfielder Kyle Beckerman says after a win over Ghana and a draw with Portugal, it all comes down to this for the team to stay alive.
It's a third game, most important game. Everything's on the line.
The last U.S. game drew a record TV viewership for the sports. American coach Jurgen Klinsmann is a former German star player.
We are not any underdog here in this tournament, but we know it's the biggest hurdle that we have to